The Gauge Live at the NFR is brought to you by Cavenders and Bilfic Ford. We cannot forget about Rule Cloth, the Royal Crown Fraternity, and Bailey's House of Guns.
This is The Gauge with host Chance Conradu.
Are you freaking serious? It's Conrado. This is The Gauge, and I am Chance Conradu. On this episode of the podcast, we are live from Globe Life Field for round four of the National Finals Rodeo. We did have two extra. We were not able to catch Colton Fritzlin after his round three win, so we caught up with him just for a quick second before the rodeo started, as well as Chad Masters and Wesley Thorpe. We talked to those guys as well right before. For the actual round four winners, we talked to Tim O'Connell, who took the bareback riding tonight. He got in his groove. Then we talked to Jacob Talley, who threw down the fastest time of the entire rodeo in the steer wrestling. Then Ryder Reich stopped by for a quick interview. And, of course, Haley Kinzel won the barrel racing. Here's the thing, guys. Part of this with Haley Kinzel is we were telling her she had a 16.8. That's because we were looking at the live screen with no audio. They stopped the clock at a 16.8, but then the official results are saying 17.09. So as of us saying this, we don't actually know what's what, but it seems like the clock stopped early maybe and the official time was different, or at least what they had up on the screen. So that's where the whole talk about a 16.8 came from. If you go to our social media, our Instagram, you'll see that we screenshotted that, but yeah, so check it out. Thank you to our partners over at Cavenders. Cavenders has been a trusted cowboy boot and western wear outfitter for over 50 years. Discover why their loyal customers love their collections of western wear. Check them out at cavenders.com for the latest styles. A little early, round four, we've got Colton Fritzlin, who was one of two who actually had a qualified ride last night in the bull riding. It was a pretty tough pin of bulls, but what were your thoughts when you drew that bull?
You know, I knew I had a really good bull going into the round. You know, I'd seen him this summer. Some buddies had rode him and whatnot, and seen some film of him as well. And, you know, there was little tricks and stuff. I knew if I got by, he was going to ride like Cadillac, and he sure did.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly looked like it. I mean, compared to kind of what happened to everybody else besides you and Ty, it's funny, you know, all the Colorado jokes with the podcast. It was only Colorado guys who made money last night, so I'm good with that. But, you know, last time you were on the show, it feels like a lifetime ago, a totally different guy, and it was you and Kai, oddly enough. Like we might have talked about it, but kind of everything you guys said you wanted to accomplish and do, kind of been doing it. So, yeah. I mean, that's kind of great when you get to – hang out with guys who are kind of green in their season, and you know it's your first NFR. But we had a lot of conversations about what you guys were hoping to do, what you thought you might be able to do, and I mean you guys are doing it. It's pretty impressive.
Yes, sir. You know it. This year has been nonetheless amazing. You know we've helped each other out throughout the year and plan to keep doing our job each day here in each round and to see where the chips fall where they may.
No, absolutely, and it's interesting because there's guys who you may have expected to do certain things that are kind of, I don't know if you would use the word struggling. It's pretty early in the event to call it struggling, but the young guys have really stepped up, or the guys maybe you wouldn't think would be the ones to come out early. You know, you, Kai, I mean, Stetson had two bangers in a row, but I mean, what do you think of the rodeo so far? What do you think of, I mean, you don't have anything to compare it to because your first NFR is in a baseball field, but I mean, what have you thought so far about the whole event?
It's been a great event, great atmosphere. You know, that locker room there, them 15 guys, you know, they're it's pretty really good group of guys this year. You know, they can ride, and you know, but just keeping things simple right now, just taking one bull at a time and keep doing my job each and every day.
No, absolutely. Well, you're certainly doing that, and I mean, you had your biggest night in your entire career last night, both earnings and, you know, the stage. So it's got to be a pretty good feeling. I'm sure you're feeling as confident as ever going into tonight.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that definitely helped my momentum, you know, just keep going on the rounds to come, and we'll just see how it goes.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think about your draw tonight in specific?
I'm fired up as well as not. You know, I've seen this bull before. You know, buddy's been on him. Really looking forward to the matchup and pretty excited.
Yeah. Your folks been here the whole time?
Yep, folks, family, friends. Yep, it's been good.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll let you get to the locker room, get ready, and glad you were able to stop by. Sorry we missed you last night, but yeah, congratulations on the big win and the big check, and keep it going.
No worries. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet, Colton. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, guys, we are back with Chad Masters and Wesley Slorp. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Yep, we're doing good. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's been kind of an interesting few days in the team roping, no doubt. I mean, you guys have 2 foot extra on the barrier, which is not necessarily that big of a deal unless you're comparing it to Vegas. But what have been your guys' kind of initial impressions of you know, the roping so far going into round four?
Well, for me, you know, it's I didn't start it off like I'd want to, but we didn't know what we were practicing for till we got here. Like you said, you know the numbers on the barrier, but you kind of got to get a feel of the arena and see where it ends up. But I feel like they're going to start getting faster and faster now.
Yeah, well, I mean, absolutely. I mean, Dustin and Travis have kind of been lighting it up so far. I mean, it's hard to slow guys down when they have traction like that. But, I mean, you guys have been in the money pretty much every night except for the first, so.
Yeah, we kind of got, you know, made a couple good runs and have a lot left. And feels like we kind of get a good feel for the arena so far. So definitely looking forward to the rest of the week.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, there's a lot of rodeo left, and, you know, in the team roping in specific, things change really quick, so, which you guys are probably pretty used to that. But we got to watch you guys, and I've said this already, but to watch you guys practice when you first kind of got to go head some steers and do some of that. What were you guys thinking the steers were going to do in this wide open space initially?
Boy, I've been very surprised that they hadn't went left as much as they could, as open as it is. They've seemed to went pretty straight so far, which tonight will be their second run, and hopefully they keep staying straight enough that everybody don't end up in the bucking chutes.
Yeah. I mean, you would just think that they would go right, and you would thought the same thing in the tie down and the bulldogging, but they're all going to the fence. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But I mean, what did you guys get a chance to check out the steer that you guys drew tonight, and what do you think of him?
Yeah, he's pretty honest. He was strong the first round. The guys, they missed the barrier a little bit and ran him down there and made a clean run on him. But he's definitely, you know, pretty honest here, and we've got a pretty good idea of what he is. So
Yeah. I mean, they definitely have some good cattle at the rodeo this year. But, I mean, going forward, I mean, it's obviously Dustin, Travis, but anything can change. Who else do you think we should kind of be watching for? Who are you guys keeping an eye on that you think you really need to, you know, keep tabs on and what have you to –
I could see Nelson Wyatt turning some pretty fast steers this week, and them putting some good runs together. Levi and Shea, I could see them kind of coming from on the pack, putting some good runs together. Dustin, it looks pretty easy for him. He's kind of having fun. I definitely think they'll keep the ball rolling.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, It's a totally different environment here than it is anywhere else, but, I mean, it's kind of awesome. Obviously, it's great that the PRCA was able to pull it off, all these things, but, I mean, it's kind of a historic thing. Where does this rank for you guys as far as experiences you've had in rodeo?
Oh, for me, I mean, this is a great opportunity. Anytime you can make the finals, it's huge, and it's been a long year for me this year, and to be able to come here close to home and this big a rodeo, that's a huge experience for us. I mean, anytime you can go to the NFR, it's pretty priceless.
Absolutely. It's fun in the team roping because there's two of you. But, I mean, I don't know exactly how long you guys have been roping together, but what are you guys' opinions of each other? Any critiques here?
I think...
Team roper's favorite question.
Yeah, I think the setup's awesome for us. You know, I mean, it's a great setup to make good runs. You know, and I think, which, you know, you always want to say good runs win money, but this year was not that way in the team roping. I mean, it was kind of a crapshoot, more or less. You know, draw played such a big factor. There was so many teams at each rodeo. But I think this rodeo and the way the setup is and the steers, it's really cool to see good runs win money every night. I think that's what you're going to see the whole team, the whole time. And that's what we kind of base our living around. And, so it's kind of cool for us to be a part of that in the setup.
Yeah. It's nice to see that the money crept up too, right? Cause you guys, just like everybody, have been nickel and diming for the whole year, just trying to maybe get here without actually knowing if you could. But I mean, getting some of these big checks has got to be nice. Everybody's little light in the pocket coming into this.
That's right. Shad, yeah, this is a good year to get
things
through.
Like that. Well, perfect. We will let you guys kind of get in, get ready to rope, and hopefully you guys got a go-around win coming.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you bet, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, you bet. Guys, Bilfic Forge is the number one Super Duty in the entire country. Number one. They are a family-owned and operated dealership with no bull discounts, no bull interest rates. These are some of the best rates you can get on a new Super Duty, guys. They also offer nationwide shipping, so you're not limited to that Ford dealer you might not like in your backyard. Go to BillFickFordHuntsville.com for the best deals on a new Super Duty. Go look in the contestant parking if you're here at Globe Life. You'll see more Bill Fick Fords than any other brand. All right, guys, we are back with the live feed here. We've got Tim O'Connell, who was complimenting young Tyler's hair. I can't believe it. I almost asked him to leave. I'm not going to do that because he just won the round, but I was shocked nonetheless. But how you doing, Tim? I know you're battling this shoulder injury, but sure didn't seem like it.
It is what it is. You know, this is bareback riding. You're going to have bumps and bruises. It's how you persevere through this. You know, this is what I do in the off time when no one else is looking around prepares me for these moments to just get the job done when it needs to be. It's 8 seconds. I can block that out of my head for 8 seconds, and I got about 23 hours to get it fixed on and worked on again. So we have a plan of action, so we're just fine.
No, absolutely. And you had said that they popped it back in. I'm good. So, I mean, that is the most bareback thing I think I've ever heard. But you haven't been in yet, and we've been kind of patiently waiting. I had a feeling after what happened last night that you come out just guns a-blazing, and you certainly did that. I mean, if you didn't have your shoulder injury, I mean, probably the perfect ride. So, I mean, it was excellent to watch. And, I mean, kind of what were your thoughts when you found out what horse you're getting on, and did you think that he would be a go-around winner?
I knew I had a really good shot. I'd seen that horse in person at the Reagan Rally, and he was 89 points with Tanner Ross, and that was deep mud in that arena that night. It was slick. These were our nice horses, so I kind of knew, like, with him being that good in that arena and that cold environment, that he was probably going to be a little bit better today. When he rolled in, I got kind of looking at it and sizing him up. He was a short back, kind of stocky stud, and I knew if I grabbed him right out of there, I knew he was going to have a hard left. That's kind of been his go-to move, hard left down the buck and shoots. And I grabbed him, and he just bogged it right there, and I knew that he was going to keep it going. So I was just kind of my thought processes would just touch him and kind of lift him up and put him back down. Don't go to try to really grab a hold of him. Just beat him and flash him up. And the more I did it, the better he got. And then the more I got to expose myself. So by the fourth jump, I was just airing him out, and he was giving it back to me, and we both were showcasing the very best versions of ourselves for 4 seconds for them judges.
Absolutely, and I mean, the judges hung on that score for a while, so you know they were, I mean, you were probably sweating bullets, but they were thinking really hard about where to score you, and I was really happy to see him hit you over 90, because it definitely seemed to my dumb brain that it was a 90-point ride, so.
It felt great. You know, you don't know. You really don't know what they're going to do. So, and I knew Leighton put on a really good ride. Actually, that was one of the last rides I watched was Leighton go. And I didn't know where we were going to go. I know we were going to be splitting hairs right there. He put on a really good ride, but I felt really good tonight. You know, everything felt mechanically as good as it possibly went. Even my get off with his shoulder, you know, was pretty dang good for riding him one-handed until they popped the flank, and then I got off. So everything went really good, truthfully, for the situation that we were put in.
Yeah, absolutely. It was kind of just a matter of time before you got your first go-around win, but it's exciting because, you know, there's only a handful of these Globe Life buckles anybody will ever get, so it's good that you get one.
Absolutely. And, you know, this is honestly my first round win since 2018. You know, I got skunked last year, and, you know, I was just more hungry tonight. You know, like, I was not pleased with myself last night. To be truthfully, I've been kind of shell shocked since the first round, and it truthfully kind of stole my joy to have that kind of happen in the first round like it did, and I haven't truly let it go until this morning. And I had a lot of my mentors call me, and I don't know if they all like called each other and like told each other what to say to me, but they all said the same thing. And we went to the church service this morning, and he said the same thing as them guys. I swear they all just called each other and like, hey, we're gonna make this whole thing to just reflect right at Tim so he can wake up and start the NFR today.
Right. Well, I mean, dude, you certainly did that. It was an excellent night for you, and kind of have a little bit of breathing room now, you know, between that race. But you got a nice lead there, and you know that's the whole goal. So you're trying to get that fourth buckle.
Yeah, I mean, this is gonna come down to the end. This is going to come down to round 10 and who can showcase off. We got six more rounds to go. You're seeing him at his best. You're seeing Rich. You're seeing 15 guys at their very best. Like, this has been a great bareback riding.
I mean, it is unbelievable to watch these first-time guys, Leighton, Cole. They're in the money almost every night. They're Jess. Putting on a show. Jess, I mean, yeah, Jess has not made a mistake.
Jess is the sleeper right now that no one is talking about. The kid is, I think he had one 82-point ride the other night. He's been 86, 87. He's placed 3 out of 4 nights. You know, like, he's killing it. These rookies are killing it at their first NFR.
Yeah, I mean, we're certainly seeing the evolution of bareback riding in this NFR. I mean, these guys have been putting in as much work as you. So, I mean.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, this is a great, great, great group of guys. And, like, I don't know if it's not – I think a little bit – the energy is so different down there than Vegas. There's not a lot of energy down there. You can't really hear –
so much space. I mean, you guys have the warm-up arena right behind you. I mean, it's strange.
Yeah, it's so much different. Like, you know, I kind of compare it to the American mixed with a Calgary. You know, it's so big, but yet there's so many more people than there is in Vegas, but they're so far away from you, you don't feel 20,000 people around you. And it's eerie quiet on the floor. Like, you can hear everybody on the back of the chutes, and you kind of hear a mumble of the announcers going. So, like, the energy isn't there. Like, it is, like, when you have 17,000 people on you in the MAC, like, there's some high, intense energy. Like, you
can't compare it to anything.
No, you really can't. And, like, you have to create your own energy down there. So, basically, like, this is it feels like a practice pin that just pays $26,000.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of just you and your thoughts, which might be a dangerous thing, no distractions. But you clearly got your head together and put on an absolute show, and I'm hoping we get you in here again. Tim, thank you for taking the time to come in. Go get that shoulder worked on, and we'll be rooting for you here.
Thank you, guys.
You bet. Big shout out to Rule Cloth. If you like hunting, fishing, back roads, family farms, ice cold beer, bonfire nights, old pickup trucks, dogs, never cats, and mud on your boots, it's because you are cut from Rule Cloth. Rule Cloth is the brand for you. This brand sets out to create quality apparel for the rural American. We even did a podcast with Mr. Brandon Bates, who is their founder. He is also a longtime PBR announcer. They set up a coupon code for you guys to use over at rulecloth.com. Use the coupon code GAGE right now for 20% off during the entire NFR and 10% off after the NFR ends. That promo code is GAGE at checkout. Go do some Christmas shopping. Support small business. How important is that right now? Go support Rule Cloth right now. All right, guys, we are back with Jacob Talley, who just stole the night in the steer wrestling 3-4, also the fastest throwdown of the rodeo. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm good. Real good now.
Yeah, no kidding, right? Yeah. Winning a go-around doesn't suck, especially when it's a finite thing here. So
no doubt.
Yeah, so, I mean, what was your thoughts going into tonight? I mean, you got a chance to look at your steer. What did you think was going to happen with that guy?
Man, I knew he was good. They split the round on him in the first round.
Yep, exactly.
And they missed the barrier by 6 inches on him, so you knew – if I could sharpen the startup a little bit, I know I could take some time off. And there was some guys that drew some steers that run hard. I knew he wasn't going to outrun us, but it was something, especially after stubbing my toe in the second round, I wasn't going to back off of it. I was going to try and blow it out and win the round.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, so at this point in the rodeo, we're starting to kind of get, you don't call it the home stretch, but we're right in the middle. I mean, it's one of those situations maybe where you do just want to go for the round one every night at this point, huh?
For sure.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, there's nothing really to hold back on. But when you drew him and he lined up there and you got him, I mean, did you realize you were going to go 3-4 on him?
Wow, that's been the plan all week. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Going into the rodeo here at Globe Life, what were you thinking we were going to see? I mean, because the first night was a little slower, obviously, to be expected with everybody kind of going for their first shot at this arena. But, I mean, were you expecting them to get into the low threes like that? I mean, that's faster than I personally thought they were going to be.
Yeah, I figured it would get fastest. I didn't know, like, last night, I didn't think it would get that fast in one round altogether. It's just an unknown. We didn't really know what to expect on the start. The first guy out was the steer I had.
Right.
And so I don't blame him for missing the barrier because nobody really knew what it was going to be. And so I would think it's probably going to start sharpening up throughout the week and get as fast.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny. I was talking to some guys when they started setting up this arena, and everybody seemed to think that everything was going to run to the right, and they're running to the fence. Yeah. And what do you think? What do you think that's all about? I mean, I got scolded for saying that the calves were going to run to the fence right. At one point. I was like, well, okay.
Yeah, man, we kind of expected ours to run to the left.
Yeah.
It being that wide open, at least we were not worried about horses running off of them or just – them stepping at us. That's why, like, my first one, I kind of had to jump at. I broke down the wall. I knew he was going to run, and he ended up stepping half a step right.
Yeah, yeah.
And so no, it was kind of a shock.
Right. Yeah, what do you expect to see as the rounds go on from everybody else? I mean, I think everybody's kind of been waiting for Matt Reeves to do something, and he made a horse change last night, and tonight didn't go his way either. But I mean, what do you think is going to happen with this chase for the gold buckle? And it's getting interesting.
Yeah, for sure. It's it's something now that everybody knows the steers. They can make game plans for them. It doesn't always turn out the way we want to, but knowing them's going to help. I think it'll change a little bit. I know my plan is to win the round every night from here on out. If we do, we do, and we'll see what happens in the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably no simpler plan than that. But, with the hype you're running in off of tonight, you'll get a good night's rest because I can go out.
That's right.
Can't do nothing but sleep and eat a good meal and then come back and maybe just put that on repeat. I won't be mad if you do it.
That's right. I'll come see you tomorrow.
You bet. Let's do that. Yeah, bring some pizza. I'm hungry.
I can do that.
Also, thank you to Royal Crown. Royal Crown is a fraternity and derby, as well as an open barrel race with roping events included, offering some of the industry's biggest payouts for riders, stallion shareholders, and breeders. Couple that with no annual enrollments. Look for their events in 2021, where they will be in Bryan, Texas in February. There'll be 65,000 added to that fraternity, guys, as well as their event in Rock Springs, Wyoming in August. Check out royalcrownrace.com. Again, that's royalcrownrace.com. Or find Royal Crown on Facebook for information on the stallion enrollment, entering their 2021 races, and a list of enrolled stallions. That's royalcrownrace.com. All right, we are back, and we've got Ryder Wright, who just took the round in the saddle bronc riding. What was your thoughts tonight? I mean, you put on a freaking clinic.
Oh, I knew that horse. I've been on her. I think that was my, fourth time getting on her. So we've got a history together, and I knew she was going to go out there and buck just like that and, give me a shot to win the round. So, and I just knew I had to go out and do my thing, and it would probably work out.
Yeah, I mean, it was a smoother ride as you could probably hope for, 89.5 points, and you overtook the world right now as well. So, I mean, it's probably about as much as a guy could hope for this early in the rodeo. But, what have you thought so far kind of as the rounds have progressed? What have you thought of the pin, kind of just all the factors that play into this?
Shoot, the horses have been good. I've been drawn good. Maybe not the strongest in every round, but, stuff that I get along with, I guess. So it's been good to me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, you've got a tough group of guys you're up against. This is Lefty's first year. He's really showing up, it seems, about every round. And, of course, all of your brothers are there, which are always tough competition for you. But, going through going through this whole COVID deal and everything and just not getting the rodeos that you got, I mean, what did you feel like was your biggest challenge this year, coming into the NFR, it not being in Vegas? I mean, what have you kind of been feeling throughout 2020 and how this has all progressed?
Well, the only bad thing I can think of is, like during the summer, you get rolling, you're doing it every day. And so you're like in bronc riding shape is what we call it. But like this year we didn't have that, we'd go to one or two this weekend and then wait a while and go to a few more. But other than that, the time home has been nice with the family. That's not something we probably won't ever get again, hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a double-edged sword probably, right? It's like you get to spend time with the family, eat a few things maybe you normally wouldn't, watch TV for once. Yeah. And then, but that's not really the cowboy way. That's not how it is with rodeo. So, I mean, hopefully it was a short-lived thing for you. But, did you feel like that maybe you didn't want to push this hard this year? Like some of the guys kind of, in a lot of events, just kind of took the year off because they maybe didn't feel like it was worth going for that small money.
Oh, no. No, we went to everything we could, we're here to win, whether that's a $1,000 added rodeo or San Antonio, we ride Bronx to win. We don't, I'm not here to win second. So, and I know going to those little rodeos this year is what you had to do to get up and into here.
Yeah, no, I mean, it certainly is. And the crazy thing is, and we talk about it time and time again on this show specifically, but you were going blind for so long. So it was kind of just trusting that this whole deal would work out. The PRCA could pull it off. They certainly did that. I mean, you're probably not a baseball fan. I'm not really, but playing on a baseball field like this, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. It's huge in here. It doesn't seem like it's not quite as, I'm going to say loud here because it's so big. It's in the, like the Thomas and Mack, it seems like those guys, they're sitting right on top of you. But other than that, you know, I like this place too.
Do you like it? Yeah. It was funny. Tim O'Connell was in here and he was talking about how almost like eerily quiet it is back there, mm-hmm. and that he, you know, it's easy to get into your head. What are you doing in there? Kind of just to stay focused. Cause I mean, it doesn't matter where you're at in Thomas and Mac. If you're behind the buck and shoots, you're sitting in the nosebleeds. It's just the vibe.
Yeah. It's loud. I don't know. I try not to think too much about it. Try and watch the team roping and stuff. I don't know. Try and keep it simple.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely, and you certainly do that, and you make you make riding saddle bronc courses look simple, even though it isn't. So you're awesome. You got one of those awesome Glove Life buckles. Hopefully you get another one, but congratulations, and enjoy your night, and go get some rest because you can't do anything else.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet, Ryder. Take it easy. Bailey's House of Guns is a family-owned and operated business based out of Houston, Texas. These guys have supplied law enforcement throughout the state with guns and ammunition for years. They also provide great options for hunters. Benelli Shotguns, Weatherby, Christensen Arms, Smith & Wesson, Loophole Scopes, Swarovski Optics, just to name a few. They've been in business since 1970, guys. They are also a well-known sponsor of rodeo and rodeo athletes. Give them a call, 713-433-2475 for more details. Here's the great thing, guys. They can ship guns and ammo to local FFLs in your area if you are not in the Houston market. They've got lots of stock. Give Bailey's House of Guns a call today. All right. We have got, you know who. Haley is with us again.
I thought you wouldn't recognize me with my shirt.
You think I'd recognize you?
Yeah, it's shiny.
It is shiny. Was it supposed to be camouflage? I'm not really sure what the
I've never
was.
Worn a shiny shirt.
Is that a new shirt?
It's brand new.
It's velvet.
It's velvet.
That's the most buckle bunny thing I think I've ever seen Haley do.
It's pretty buckle bunny. I'm not going to lie. It's very shiny.
It is. But I'm normally sure it would be like a jacket with nothing else.
I am so lucky. Shot. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, really, I mean, it's better than a normal attire, though. Normally, it's like some form of leggings and the exact same tennis shoes.
With the purple
bottoms.
You're right. Yes, I know I wear right. those tennis Every shoes. Time I, see I got you, you're new ones. Shoes. I got new ones. I want a jackpot, and like if I win something, I'll let myself buy something.
Because right. you don't win enough to go buy a new pair of shoes.
Well, it's like a goal. You know what I mean? So tennis shoes was next on the list, and I got a new pair. So be ready. These have pink bottoms.
Pink bottoms?
Yeah, you're going to freak out.
Pink and what? Because what were the other ones? Like purple and pink. Blue, I don't know. They're, or something. They're like blue. Apostropedic shoes that you see the women like.
I have speed walking fat down the street feet, in. Like flat, fat feet, and I need like flat, heel fat support. Feet,
say that five times.
I need a lot. I cannot, and I won't. But I need a lot of heels. I need a wedge shoe. Okay, I have to wear a wedge shoe.
A wedge shoe. Yeah, but that is it's your style. It's very modest. It's nice.
It goes with my velvet.
And your personality.
And my personality.
Guys, if you were watching the Cowboy Channel, or if you look at the PRC official results, Haley did not run a 17.09. She actually ran a 16.8. So she's the first to break the 16.8. And here I go again. I have to compliment her. I'll knock her and then I'll bring her back. And I'll knock her and I'll bring her back. We'll talk about the shoes, the velvet. But we'll also talk about how she keeps running the fastest times over and over again. There is a reason she is who she is. And that I don't know what else you could say about sister, but
she's freaking rolling, man. She feels awesome. She slipped last night and just like stepped up tonight and just said, I don't know, I think she was mad about last night.
Yeah,
just had some vengeance or something.
I don't know, she came out of there like a bat out of church. I'm not gonna say hell in front of you.
A bat out of church, that's a new
I'm
one.
Not gonna say hell in front of you, but
you just did.
I see, now I'm getting uncomfortable. It's the velvet. Every time it reflects into my eye. Why is the camera so
he
low?
He doesn't talk to buckle bunnies very well.
I try to stay away from the buckle bunnies as much as possible. We have a lot of Buckle Bunny fans, though. Surprisingly, those are the only kind of women who go into my DMs.
You know, it's the only kind of women that go into my DMs, too.
Talk about the men who go into your DMs. You've sent me a few of them. I was like, Derek, what is the male equivalent of a Buckle Bunny? One of those guys who has a bottle in the back of their hat and those curvy glasses we were talking about earlier?
I don't know where that is coming from. Wasn't for you. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like pugs. They wear pug glasses.
What are those?
The gas station sunglasses. Everybody knows what those are.
I buy gas station sunglasses. What's your
Ty, the mic is in front of my face.
Move it. There you go.
Oh, he's got attitude.
He's on with me.
Yeah, somebody get this guy a
There's not enough
shirt.
Gel in his hair. Can you put some more gel in his hair? He might be happy.
No. So he got a hair compliment for the first time since birth.
What? Wow. By who?
Tim O'Connell.
Cool. Tim O'Connell's like, see, that's cool.
Let's put a hard part in that. I wanted to say to Tim, but he's having a great night. I was like, dude, the hard part was like 4 years ago. He doesn't know. You don't know.
Yeah, no.
It's all right. Well, you had an excellent night, and you've got a pretty hefty lead in the average if they actually correct your times. But, it's looking good. If I had money to bet like you do, I would bet that you're probably going to take the world again.
Thank you.
Glad you're betting on me. Isn't it interesting how amazing your horse is, though, that you can change a venue? I mean, you had 3 years in a row in Vegas that, that pin is hers, but now this one is too.
I'm good with it. I mean, she's super versatile, but she's unreal. I don't know. She's her.
Yeah.
She's just her.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fun fight with Brittany, though, because you just kind of keep going at it. But I don't know. Hopefully we'll see you again and... Yeah, keep on with the velvet. It's a great look.
Never again. It's probably going out on top. I'm not going to lie. but I'm glad I didn't suck, because then I would have been like throwing it away.
No, you were awesome. You're excellent and super proud of you. And I'm never going to stop teasing you. But still, it's awesome. Proud of you. And keep it up and have a great night.
Back at you.
You do the freaking finger guns. Oh, brother, let's go down. This has been The Gauge, hosted by me, Chance Conrado, produced and edited by our guy, Ty Yeager. Shout out to the executive producers, Dustin Pointer and Cody Denton. Marketing and content produced by Riley Chone. Our theme song is by Shay Ashshire and the Night Howlers. Make sure to rate and review this podcast, as well as follow The Gauge on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And make sure to subscribe to The Gauge wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you guys next time.